Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
What's up, folks? This is DJ Domewrecker, Rodney Williams, the Domewrecka, and welcome to the stage. This is a segment of the On the Edge with Katie Barnett and Friends show, and I come to you twice a week to play some great, great music for you. I decided to do something way different from what I have been doing the last few weeks. As you guys can tell, at least here in New York City, it's hot. Matter of fact, it's hotter than hot. And it's well beyond the whole hotter than July thing that's going on. So, I decided instead of going into a house mode, a reggae mode, a hip-hop mode, a big old party mode, get the water, get the juice, get the ice. If you guys want, go ahead, grab some wine, get an easy chair, sit back, relax. We got some jazz going on tonight, so chill mode. Let's go.
Thank you.
Okay, so listen, I'm just trying to bring it to you cool like Cool Whip here. Once again, this is DJ Domerica, Rodney Williams, the DOMEWRECKA. This was Welcome to the Stage, and I would like to go ahead and run the playlist for you of some of the jazz tracks I threw down. We started off with Storm King by the great Bob James, featuring the guest Grover Washington Jr. on CTI Records. I want to say this is about 1976, actually, yes, 1976. We went on to another record on CTI, Stanley Turrentine. The track was called Speedball, from the album called The Baddest Turrentine, 1972. Went back a little bit further and pulled out some Lionel Hampton from an album called Swinging with Hamp, Swinging with Hamp, on the Verve recording, on the Verve Records label. A little tongue-tied here tonight. It's kind of hot. The track was called Je Ne Sais Pas. Dave Brubeck Quartet. The track is called This Can't Be Love. This is from the album Bossa Nova USA from 1963, Columbia Records. And we ended off things with a jazz instrumental version of the Stevie Wonder classic My Cherie Amour by the Ramsey Lewis Trio on Cadet Records. This was recorded in May of 1969 at Termore Studios, Chicago. If you guys want to get in contact with me, soundworksmediainc@gmail.com. Look for my mixes on mixcloud.com/domerecka. That's DOMEWRECKA. And I will see you guys next week. Maybe it'll be a few degrees cooler. I hope so, and I think you should hope so. Finish up those drinks, folks. See you next week. Peace.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. That was DJ Domerica Wild. Glad to be here. Nice to be able to do this cross-touch with one jazz. So, look for him every Monday and every Thursday. Sometimes he leads off, sometimes he ends off, but he's always delivering with whatever he does. He's got that magic touch on. All right, it's time to get to our subject tonight. Mayor Bloomberg, I hope you're listening, or maybe not, because you're on blast. The schools are not helping our children in New York City. Now, I'm not just speaking with regard to schools, just in New York, but I will say that the article that prompted this topic tonight is about New York City. Anybody that's out there that is listening that has issues with their school system wherever in the U.S. you are, kindly feel free to call in. Our number here is 347-327-9967. Okay? Well, let's get started. Today in the New York Daily Newspaper, New York City School Chancellor Dennis Walcott released an article warning that the predicted 2012 ELA scores, that building new tests that they force our children to take to determine whether or not they're going to be promoted, regardless of how well they did all year, is going to come out at least 30% worse than the 2011 results. Oh, why don't you just say that with a nice little, you know, coffee in your hand? But this is just normal conversation. Our children are in these schools with lack of everything that once made the school so great. What made education great? Okay, what they did was go into their nice little lofty perches up there in the big old boardroom, and they sat there and said, you know what? We have to make some cuts because the budget is just not what it used to be. We'll get into why that is a little bit later. So, but okay, let's get started. So, we need to cut some stuff. Now, let's not bother the big old rich people with that. Just go right into the inner city schools and take away what little they have. So how much can we cut from the cut? Let's take away their sports. Let's take away music. Let's take away art, because what do they need art to have for? What do they need music for? They're naturally born with music. What do they need that for? They don't need sports. Never mind the fact that all of these things enhance the way our students learn. All of these things give them that much-needed mental break from the constant curriculums and tests and the constant new wave things that are coming out now that what used to have people in place to assist teachers, they no longer have. All these children know now is, wait, forget about all that piles of homework you got all year, even if you get it right. It's not going to mean anything, because if you don't, that's still at the end of the year, okay? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You could do well all year, but and have the type of mental personality that freezes on a test, okay? And if you should freeze on a test, because Lord knows it's no pressure to go there and have to answer 175 questions with only an hour and a half to do it. And Lord knows if you missed breakfast that day because you were running late, because you can't be late, you won't get to breakfast. And you know what? Despite everything that Mayor Bloomberg in New York City has put upon these children, and despite all those other people out there that are going through the same failing school system problems, our children are still going into school and still busting their butts to try to make the grade. Forget about all the negative ones that you see out there that's causing the problems in school. There are still quite a bit of kids that are going in there because they got parents like myself and other type of parents that don't take no for an answer to fuck education. So on top of the fact that now they have taken everything away that enhances these public school children's ways of learning, they took away the sports, they took away the music, they took away the band, they took away the art, they took away the teachers that used to be able to handle those children with extra learning disabilities. Not so much that they have any mental retardation system, but if they're anything like me, they have to learn a little bit different. They need to write things down and break things down a little more than whatever they feel, so that they can understand it on their level. Long gone are those people that used to take those children aside to give them the extra time that they need. Forget the fact that our mayor is really telling the teachers to cut out any extra time and put everything on a time schedule. Because on top of all that, listen, it matters what's on paper. Put them in the classroom. Full set. Forget that they have mastered every internal class quiz, every pop quiz, every essay. Because at the end of the year, it doesn't matter a damn. Now, let's go back to Mr. Chancellor of Schools in New York City. Lord knows he needs to dust up his resume and get to something, because I don't know what it is. Oh, I warn you, parents, we are awaiting the 2012 release report of the ELA and Regents test. And be aware that, you know, you might get a shock, but don't be so shocked, because I'm telling you in advance, they just might fail by as much as 30% of the previous year's score. That's not acceptable. We are paying you to have our children go to your school. We're trusting our children's education, their lives, their safety in your hands for 8 hours a day. You're mandating us, my Lord, to send our children to these public facilities, because Lord knows you're not helping homeschoolers do their job. And you're going to sit there and say to me that, oh, well, it is what it is. It's not what it is. Your job is to teach them. And then on top of that, you want to close 17 more schools in New York City? 17, because they're failing. Whose job is that? Your job isn't to close the schools and take away locations that our children are supposed to go out and do. Your job is to find out why the hell they're failing and make them do better. Because you owe it to our children. You owe it to the staff. You owe it to those kids that are going in there well while you're busy telling the parents who don't send their children to school for 2 days without a note, that we're going to come into your home and find out what's going on in your house if your kids can't come. They're not coming to school because they're not learning anything. What are you doing to them? When they're going into school, they're being metal detectors. They're being solicited by gang members But you want to sit there and tell me it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. 30% of children are going to fail even worse than they did the year before. And your solution is to close more schools so you cramp all these kids that all have different learning disabilities for one teacher and say put them all in the same class, and the ones that are disruptive because they don't know how to learn are going to sit there and upset the ones that are learning? My call panel is pretty full tonight, so I'm going to start bringing in some people so that I can hear what they have to say. And any of you teams that are out there, any of you students that are out there, feel free to call in and chime in because you have a voice too. As a matter of fact, this is all about you. Parents, if you are listening, if there are teams that are on the line, you do me a favor. You listen to what they're going through. And you open up your mouth at a PTA meeting at one of them chances. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't, once again, our children are in trouble. Let me start off with our first panelist. Hi, Carla, you're on the air.
Hi, Katie. It's Lady Diamond. How are you?
Hi. Okay, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, this is our co-host, Lady Diamond. Okay, you have a child in the public school system, don't you?
Well, no, my daughter, she's not in the public school system, but I was raised in the public school system, and I know my whole softball team is in the public school system, so I know stories and everything about it.
Okay. Well, the chancellor, once again, in our New York City wonderland, okay, has decided that he's going to release a, he's going to release he's going to release an article that pretty much says, I've done my job by giving you this information, telling you that, you know what, expect that your children are going to fail this year.
My gosh.
Don't be surprised, because you know what, they just didn't do so well this round. They did a little better last year. And that's it. Wash my hands, done my job. This is the chancellor of schools, by the way, Dennis Walcott. So, from your perspective as, let's say, okay, your daughter's not in the public school system, but you're a softball coach, like you said, of children that are. So you're part of that village that we talk about all the time. What are your feelings on the situation?
Well, the chancellor better shape up. That's one. We have, I don't know how it is in other states, but you and I know that New York State, New York City alone has been underground for a very long time. We've been hitting rock bottom for a very long time. And basically, the mayor, the chancellor, all of them, they don't care about the school system. If they did, they wouldn't be focusing so much on the tourism. They wouldn't be focusing so much on how pretty they should make the city, you know? They should be focusing on, okay, this school is having problems. Let's see what we can do to make it better. This school, it has a failing grade. What can we do to make this a successful school? They don't even think about that. They think about, okay, we're closing this school down. Let's take these 500 kids and put them in another school full of 500 kids, making it 1,000. You know? And, I mean, like I said, I mean, they really don't care about the school system. It's already gotten to the point that a fifth grader cannot read its fifth grade reading level. A ninth grader could only read a fifth grade reading level. A 12th grader, oh, forget about a 12th grader. A 12th grader is even worse. You know, so, and then we go to, you remember this, Katie. They did a time of, No Child Left Behind thing. Remember that?
Yeah, that's a joke.
That was the worst thing that they've ever done. What the hell is wrong with them? And then now it's gone. It was like a fail. Anything that they think of is a fail. Yes, they took away a lot of the fundamental programs that helped our children. After school programs, they're taking away. They're taking away the music in some schools, not all. Unless it's a specialized school, then the music program is still there. But some schools, they're taking away the music program. They take away the drama program. They take away a lot of things that can help our kids get away from problems and stay in a school that they can stay focused and keep them mentally going. We don't have that no more. We don't have that no more. Now, all of a sudden, they're opening schools I can say alone in here in the Lower East Side, they opened up a school not too long ago. I could say maybe, I could average it out. It used to be old junior high school, 22. It used to be, now it's a school for the special one of the talented elementary schools. That means these kids have to, their GPA has to be 90 and above, put it like that. These kids have to be brainiacs just to get into that school. That means they have to take a specialized test to get in there. And most of the kids that go into that school do not live in the area. Most of them live in Staten Island. Some live in, you know, somewhere deep in Queens. None of them live here in the Lower East Side, so they're not focusing in that area as well, you know? So we have these schools that are closing now, and, you know, it's harder. It's even harder. Or they're cutting these schools up into little schools, and they say it's helpful. Okay, some schools has been helpful. I know there was a high school in the Bronx. There were three high schools in one. They closed down one. And it was supposed to be one of the worst high schools up in the Bronx. I forgot the name of it. I think it was one of the president's names. It's like most of the high schools that's named after a president or a leader is like one of the worst high schools, I hate to say it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not helping us at all. Whatever the chancellor is thinking, he could just take the idea and shove it in his, you know, in his fire hole for all I care. It's just going to make our kids worse. They're not even thinking about our kids anymore. So it gets to the point that we're not going to trust our teachers. We're not going to trust the school system. They were going to end up homeschooling our children just to make them better.
Well, I will tell you this. I do have some new families calling in. So just give me a second so I can bring them in on the conversation. Let me start with. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Hello? Okay.
Hello,
is it? Oh, wait, hi, you on the air?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good afternoon. I mean, good night.
You've been listening in. I want to ask your opinion on what you feel about the chancellor's part of it.
Say that again, please.
Okay, tell me who you are.
My name is John.
Hi, John.
I'm a student currently in Brooklyn.
Wow.
New York.
I feel your pain, sweetheart. Okay, well, tell me what you think. What are you going through? Because I have listeners and teens out there, parent listeners and teens. All of you other callers, I see you there. I'm going to be bringing you in with you, okay? Tell me, give us some insight as to how you feel with regards to testing, with regards to the state of the school. How do you feel going in? How does it affect your learning, your morale, everything? Because this is something I want parents that are not involved to hear from a person that's going through it firsthand for 8 hours a day. So tell me, what are you going through?
I mean, the only thing I'm really going through is the test process of taking tests is really hard, and the pressure makes it even harder. If you fail a test and then say, like, you fail the test and you can't graduate.
Wow. So if you do good all year, okay, if you get A's on all your assignments, all your homework, okay, you still, it pretty much doesn't matter unless the test comes out.
I mean, altogether, it's like the test gives you the credit.
Wow.
And you need 44 credits. So if you don't have that one credit, you can't graduate.
So wait a minute. What I'm hearing is that this is an exam that you have to take to go through to graduate.
Yes.
That's what
so
I heard.
So basically, if you take all your exams and you fail one exam, it can prevent you from graduating.
That, you see how stupid that is? Did you
wow.
hear that, Miller Bloomberg?
That's crazy. So that means if you're 1 point shy, they won't help you to pass.
You just have to be a senior and try to make up the credit.
Wow. That's something.
That's disgusting, and that's going on here in the great old Big Apple. And you know what? New York State is the only darn state in this entire wonderful country that has that testing. No other school system in America uses that testing. to determine if they get promoted. All right? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Nevada has a rule that the testing doesn't determine if the children are okay. The testing, I'm going to mute the mic for a minute, okay? Okay. I'll bring you back in, John. It's just that I got background in this thing. In Nevada, they have a system that, depending on how the children test at the end of the year, it determines how qualified or how wonderful or not wonderful the teachers were. What? Are you serious? How are you going to determine how good or bad a teacher was in a classroom or teaching-wise because of the way my students performed on a test that they worked for? You must be kidding me. All right, we have a new panelist coming in. Let me bring them in.
Sorry for the noise.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hello. Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Sorry.
Yes, yes. All right, we hear you. Tonight's topic is about the school closing and the relief that there are students that's going to fail poorly this year over last year by 30%. So, what do you think?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Katie?
Yes, we can hear you. Who's this?
Okay, this is Shonda. How y'all doing?
Hi, Shonda.
Hey, I was just calling because I'm in Flint, Michigan, and all of our schools is just about closed down.
Oh, wow.
Right. Wow. We have, like, no elementaries, no middle schools, no high schools. It's terrible here.
So wait a minute. I'm sorry to ask, but where are these kids going to? Are they going to a school that's outside of their local district?
That's where I send my baby. My baby girl, I send her to academy school, Grand Blanc Academy, because it's no elementaries here for her. And if it, it might be one or two or three. I give it three. But, no, she not finna be in a classroom with 60 kids in one classroom, and if she need help, she can't get that one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? She can't get that kind of help. So my daughter is going to Southwestern. We have Southwestern Academy, we have Flint Northwestern, and we have, you know what, that's it. Because they closed down Flint Northern this year.
Wow.
Two high schools, you know what I'm saying? They turning Flint Northern into an alternative school. I think that's what they said.
Mm.
And it's sad.
Alternative to what?
It is horrible here.
Alternative to what?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Alternative to what? I mean, who does the alternative qualify for? Are you saying the children can't learn straight up, so we're going to give them an alternative way to learn, or that the teachers can't do their damn job? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
I don't know if it's because they in debt so much. You know, our city is a small city, which at the end of the year, we normally first on the list as far as homicides. We have like 60 homicides compared to a bigger city, which have 30 or 40, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's what it is, but they closing down majority of the schools that's here. Now, Flint Central was the biggest, oldest high school here in Flint. They closed that down, like, completely. So my daughter, which is in, she'll be in 11th grade this year, she going to school, and it's like 40 to 50 kids in one class. How can you learn like that?
Absolutely not.
How can, seriously, how can you Are you serious?
Yeah, they are.
So it's not only here in New York City, it's also over where you're at, too. There's like 30 kids in one classroom, and it could be one child, maybe a few more, that needs the extra help, and then nobody's paying any attention to them.
Right. Now, if you want to put 30, 40, 50 kids in one class, can you please have two or three teachers in that class?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
President, you I know this. You have to. Rashada, I'm going to bring in our other panelists. Just hang on a second, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to the On the Edge show. Call, are you on the air?
Hello? No answer.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the On the Edge show, Corey. On the air. Who am I speaking with?
Crystal.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay.
Okay, are you a parent of a child in a public school in New York?
Yes.
Okay, Mama, tell me your thoughts about it.
I feel it's bad for them to close down the schools and stuff. They don't give the teenagers enough chance to get the credits and stuff. They make it harder, like they don't want them to learn. That's the way it looks to me. And you figure they make it harder, then it's hard for them to, you know, get their credit.
It sure is.
And that's terrible.
Yeah, because my oldest son, he graduated, and he told me that when he graduated, I think it was 2010, he said it's going to be worse. He had a hard time trying to get out, and I was surprised he got out.
Oh, wow.
He got out, but by God, grace, and mercy, I was really shocked. But I didn't think he would, you know, graduate. But the way it is now, they're making it worse. I don't think they want the American kids to even get a job. I don't think so.
And you know what I think?
I think it's racial.
I honestly think it's the generation. Because my daughter is 15 years old. She'll be 16 in a couple months. And we talked to her about the guys that she gonna meet or whatever. Half of them is dead. Half of them ain't about nothing. Half of them wear pants down to their damn ankles.
That's stupid. They have to learn.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, they have to learn for themselves. But I had a bad start. My son, at the time my husband was alive, and he was like 14, 15 hanging out. But then I also had my church family to talk to him. And even though he wouldn't go to church and attend like I do every Sunday and, you know, like Friday, he still made it. So I said it was just a prayer, you know. I was really shocked that he really made it out of high school. I was looking for him not to make it, you know.
Right.
But that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, they still, at all, you know, like a lot of kids don't want to be in church, but they still need church family to help them, too, along.
But was the husband there before that kid got bigger, you know what I'm saying, older or whatever?
The husband was there up until, I think he was 15. The little boy was, but my son was like 15. I think the husband died. But in the meantime, he didn't even want me to take him to church.
That's
he didn't want him to take him to church.
Yeah, 15, I feel like they know, they've been there, they know their dad. You know, it's different from 15 and 2 and 3 years old, your daddy ain't there. You know,
well,
I did have a son
out of wedlock that I did not have the father around. And he's different from that one, but even though the father would not let me let this particular son I'm talking about, this really rough me out of all the kids, but he kept the bad news on. The bad boys, the police, what you going to do, he kept that on 24/7. So I think that kind of helped my son right now not being in jail. Right now I want my son to work. He's not working, but he's not out there stealing. He doesn't have a record. So that's why I'm trying to help him now to get his FDNY job. And he's supposed to get this for the last, like I said, 2010. But the reason why I've been with him, because I know he could be out here doing fast money, but he's not like that. Poor mama, I wait. So I thank God for that he was there to look at that bad news, whatever that thing picture is, what you going to do when a cop gets you? The father made sure he had that on. But only thing I didn't like, the father let him get away a lot. So after the father died, he really got out of whack. But now he's beginning to come down to level because he realized I don't have nobody but mama. And when I need, mama's going to help me. But I still say that I feel that every American parents should still church in them. They don't have to be there every Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, but they need to have a church family, a pastor to talk to them. I think that helps.
Crystal, if you're there, just call back in and we'll reconnect you, okay? Give me a second. Okay, there you are. Hi, welcome to the On the Edge show. You on the air?
Good evening, panel, and God bless everyone that's on the panel this evening.
Good evening, people.
Hey, Zeke, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Well, we just had a panelist that actually spoke what you and you have been speaking about on all of the previous panels. Definitely need to have church as a foundation. And one of the things that we brought up early in the segment is there are still children out there that, despite what they're given or not given, that are busting their butts to try to make it. Whether they're bad behaving or not, they're in there doing their work. To have this testing situation come up and tell them that to hell with what you did all year, you're not getting any credit if you don't pass the test. That's worse. But what pisses me, what ticks me off more is to read this man sit there with this little informal document talking about my child's future as if he's right over coffee and, you know, pretty much he's telling me to pass the sugar. Like, I've done my job, you've been warned, so don't go open and hollering. I will be right at City Hall asking the mayor while he's up there in his lofty little millionaire perch why on earth he doesn't give a flying hell about what's going on in the school that he is the runner-up. Deacon, give me your thoughts on tonight's topic.
Well, my take on the whole educational system itself, It doesn't have to be New York City. It doesn't have to be Idaho, Ohio, Connecticut, or whatever. But I have several nephews that go to school in the New York City school system. But my sister had her two of her sons and her daughters go to out to Long Island to go to school because of the school system in within the city. But My question is, okay, I commend all the single mothers that are trying to raise their kids and to see that they get the best education that they can receive, okay? And to the ones that are working parents, I understand that you can't spend a lot of time at these schools, but to the parents that are supposed to be parents and are sitting back and getting government assistance, and you're sitting around on your behinds all day long doing nothing, what is wrong with you getting up to the schools and follow up and putting pressure on these people that we pay our tax money to teach our children?
Right.
You know, we have to take some of this blame and this concern on ourselves. You know,
right.
We have to set a foundation with the children in our homes from the time that they are newborns. It has to start at home. If we don't start to teach them the little basics, reading and writing at home, and then we expect them to do better at school, we should have them prepared for when they do go into the schools. And it really ruffles my feathers because we have so many parents now that are coming up of the younger generation, not in the generation that we're a part of, that want to sit around on their behinds, complain, but they don't want to get up off their duffs and get out and make some noise and make an effort to make sure that their children have what they need. That needs to stop. The federal government needs to step in to the people that are receiving this monthly payments every month to make sure, hey, okay, if you're sitting at home, you're not working a job, okay, be up there at the school with your children to make sure that they're doing right in their classes and that the teachers are doing what they're supposed to do, getting our tax money. It really upsets me to know that you have parents that get government assistance and they want to sit back and complain. When they don't do anything all day long, they push the kids out to these schools for like they're sending them off to a babysitter. The schools are not babysitters. These are supposed to be educators, and the parents should be a part of that education process.
That's right.
Deacon, I do want to touch on one thing with regards to what you're saying, though, okay? Because in this respect, it's not so much just about the family. I have to say, as much as we know a lot of what's going on with today's youth, definitely a major factor is contributed to, as LaShonda says, usually single parenthood. It's usually the younger parents. But in this particular respect, with regards to the testing, okay, this is strictly on the school's curriculum instruction, strictly on the school. And now, with that being said, coming home with all that being in place, very well known by all of these people, you're right, it is time for parents to now up and go do something. But in this respect, all right, the fact that they even have this entire criteria, okay, for the kids to only be promoted based on only their annual score on a test, that's absolute malarkey. Are you kidding me? I know children that are A++ students all year, but freeze on a test.
Yeah.
But freeze on a test, and then I know a bunch of dumb bunnies that are out there that disrupt the class all year, wouldn't bring a homework assignment in unless they had a military guy with an AK-47 strapped to the head of the table. And they can remember it very well the day before, cram for a test and that. So that's the thing. But to top the all off, that before the parents, because I know a lot of children that go into school that are super advanced, even in kindergarten. And what happens is, you know, they used to be what they used to call AIS instructors. They used to be people specifically designed for just special education. They used to be people in after-school tutorials and tutors and things to that effect. They are being told right now that there is a time limit and you don't have enough. And these teachers are not being paid enough. Now, couple that with the fact that they're not even protecting the children's safety. We spoke about that 3 seconds ago. The kids are going to school to be running through a metal detector. Not saying that those people that it was created for, it's not necessary, but these children are coming to school to be frisked, stabbed, their bags taken off and scanned through some airport terminal type thing. When they go into school, they got to watch their classmates for it. They're having girls do solicitation in school. They're watching kids be beat up because they're wearing the wrong color. And then on top of that, they got a bunch of damn teachers that are sitting there going, this ain't my problem, I go home at 3 o'clock. Oh well, I gave it to them. I know one thing, I'm a mom that gives every one of my 7 children's teachers, okay, 9 ways to contact me. I had a situation where I told each and every teacher that I sat in a parent-teacher conference in front of my child that they are aware of the fact that if there's one problem that you have with them, you have a way to contact me, and I'm not one of those mothers that believe my children is an angel. So I want to hear what's going on, but because before it gets to a permanent record, I want to make sure I have my opportunity to take care and do what I have to do. Now, tell me how my son, according to this one person, was a problem for quite some time. How the hell was he a problem for quite some time and I never got a call or email once? After telling you how to reach me. Okay, this is what they are facing in school. Regardless of what's going on in the house, most of these kids are going to school and they use school as a mental escape.
Okay, I'm moving out when I get into the grade.
We'll do better in school.
I'm moving out when I get into the grade.
Whoever that is, calm that down. But I will say that this particular topic tonight is strictly on what the school structure is. They have taken away everything that helps children that learn badly or have a harder time picking up a concept. They've taken every program away. The arts, the band, the music, the sports. And sports clubs used to be an incentive for children that weren't performing or were purposely being disruptive. Listen, if you want to play basketball, you got to do well in school or you don't get to go. And if you do go to the practice, you need to sit.
Where your daddy at?
So?
Did Mark Ingram do the Heisman Trophy? So,
if you do go to school and you want to be in the sports team, you are going to have to perform well in your class. You are going to have to respect the teachers in your class. Otherwise, you can't perform in today's sports activities. That used to be something that helped develop structure with the children. Okay?
Yes, that's correct.
So they took all of that out. So on top of all that, then they took away anything that gives the children a mental break between all the words that they're singing and the music and all that stuff. So they took that away too. So after taking that away, now they're going to
put
in place of that, in place of that, we're going to give you more tests to memorize. And if you don't get this, or if you're late once, okay, it's all done. And if you're late and you miss it, you're going to have to come back to summer school. So the schools on this front have the biggest responsibility. The biggest responsibility, because there are parents out there that are working and sending their children in there with a strict rule that education comes first. There are children out there that are going through that. And it's not taking away from the actual truth about those parents that aren't. Because believe me, it's too quick. Okay.
Come on.
I am in and out when it comes back to myself. But honestly, what's happening is that these guys are failing our children and then turning around and making it seem like all they have to do is give you a warning, like this man did. Stand in front of a couple of mics with a paper, read it off, warn the parents, and go back to school. We, like you say all the time, Deacon, we voted these people in to leave us. He's another one that was voted in. Okay, Mayor Bloomberg since 2002 has not done a damn thing except clean up the city to his personal taste. He don't like to see homeless people looking, being dirty or smelling around on the train whenever he decides to come out of his train and take the train or the bus. Okay, so let's clean them up. Let's not give them a real solution. Let's just stick them away from where people can see them. I can't have all our people in New Jersey to bring us money in the financial district for this garbage.
See, that's the same thing that I said earlier. That's the same thing I said earlier. That the main focus is just to beautify this city. That's his main focus. He doesn't care about the schools. If he cared about the schools, not so many schools would have been closed down. And they're saying that we are you know, severely bankrupt. Okay, yeah, we're severely bankrupt. Look what you're doing. You're adding bike lanes around here. You're adding bicycles, you know, city bikes around the area in New York City. You're narrowing the street. You're doing stuff that costs money that supposedly we don't have to keep our school systems open, you know?
Absolutely.
And yes, you know, the parents, yes, you are right, but it's not only the parents who are on, you know, unemployment or who are receiving assistance. It's also the parents who are working, too. Myself, I was on unemployment assistance myself, and my daughter's school, she goes to Catholic school. It was closing down 2 years ago. And me, I wasn't in the Parent Teacher Association, but me, I involved myself to get myself going and say, okay, what can we do to keep the school open? I tried everything by myself. I tried to get a name. I tried to get everything in my power just to keep the school open, trying to find ways to raise money for the school. And what did I get? Me being a person who was unemployed, who was receiving public assistance, you know, I didn't get anything. No parent would step up and say, you know what, I'm with you all the way. Let's fight this. Let's fight to keep our school open. This school has been around for 100 years. Let's keep it open for another 100 years. That didn't happen. What happened? Our Lady of Sorrows closed down. Our Lady of Sorrows Church closed down. The school, I mean. They closed down. Why? Because nobody was involved too. None of the parents wanted to be involved and try to keep the school open. But I did my research and everything. I said, listen, this is what we should do. This is the amount of money they're asking for. So, us as parents, let's see if we can find some vouchers. Let's see if we can find some sponsors to keep the school open. What happened? Nobody got themselves involved. Not even the president of the PTA bothered even trying to keep the school open. Everybody just gave up. Once the school that this Catholic school was closing down, everybody backed out and looked the other way. That's how it is.
Are we talking about a public school or
no? This is a private school. You know, and it's the same thing. Everybody turned the other way and you know gave their back to everybody.
Right.
It's the same thing with public schools. Everybody turned their back on public schools.
Well, public schools really shouldn't be dependent on of the parent, per se, when it comes down to deciding to close it or not. Because, frankly, closing a school, there has to be some major, I don't know, some sort of poison coming out of the vent, okay, whatever. Because you cannot sit there and tell me, as a parent, that I'm going to be okay with you shutting down a zone school or whatever because they're
right.
Not performing properly. Get your asses off your butt. Get out there and go find some qualified people or put the pressure on the people you hired. You hired them to put in my child's classroom. If the children aren't performing, it's not the kids the way they're learning, it's the way they're being taught. Because a real teacher would know how to find out why this kid can't learn.
But there's no such thing as about somebody who just doesn't know something. It's just the way that they take it in.
Right.
Well, you know, there are quite a few people with autism that are high functioning but understand it because they deal with atoms. There are other people out there that don't understand math. I was one of them. I didn't understand math formulas, but I could count a percentage in my head. All right, I could do a fraction in my head. I could understand money, but I couldn't understand formulas. Why? Because when it was too hard in the beginning, and I had a teacher that loved math like a nerd, but didn't love math enough to give that energy into a good teaching method, I decided, what the hell do I need to know what X plus Y equals Z for? Because I'm not going to be building a rocket ship. I want to be a writer or a radio show host. What do I need to know what X plus Y is equal to C minus A? So if the way I felt was, as long as I knew how to count what a percentage is, how to work a certain formula to a point, great. Problem was, once again, though, that little ugly P word, the dust.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'd like to make a comment on something that you brought up earlier, Katie. And that is with the students during the whole school year, they're getting nothing but A's and B's on their tests and everything, and then all of a sudden you want to throw a test at them, and then when they don't pass it, like say they don't pass it like by 1 point, and you know this student has been getting A's and good marks all the whole school year, and then you refuse to pass him to where he can't graduate. That's absurd. That is absurd. I mean, if he, just 1 point and you can't pass this young man or this young lady through because they missed it by 1 point, that is absurd. Not just 1 point, even just two to three points, okay? It's basically they're telling you that they know the work.
And that's
you know, they've been an excellent student the whole school year, and then you're going to throw that in front of them? Why keep putting these obstacles in front of our children? And then we sit back and seems like that a lot of us are just accepting it. That's not acceptable.
And a test is supposed to determine what you learned all year, if you're aware of the material. So,
right.
But a test is also something that puts pressure on the most well-performing child.
Right.
Okay? It puts pressure. And now New York City is just named in 2013. They're about to close 17 more schools.
Yeah.
That's not on the parents and students. That is on you, knowing how to screen your people. Stop taking them teeny boppers straight out of college.
Yeah.
And make them go through a real testing simulation type thing. Let them find out how do you deal with people that have this type of learning disability. Show
mm-hmm.
me your teaching method. What can you observe based on what the type of problem that they just have in different versus what they can master. Because that's what a good teacher does. Figures out what it is about your weakness making it a weakness. Because my college teacher did it. So when they understood, look, I need to take whatever big old technical thing you're giving me and break it down to something I do every day. I'm a mom of many. I cook. I like to write and I can dance and love music. You know what? I would take whatever lesson was too hard for me, hear what the teacher was explaining, and then try to compare it to something I do every day that I'm good at, be it a recipe or how to, you know, measure out certain things with my children, okay? So that's what a good teacher does. Take what it is about you that makes it comfortable for you and
yeah,
teach
and
you that way.
Right, expand on it.
Okay? So, and teach you that way. Now you're going to sit there and say that you're going to take away a right to be in a local area to go check up on their kids as needed because you're going to ship them off to some what you call a charter school. I remember when I heard the word charter for a bus, I thought it was a special school for us. Charter school is not, because the charter in it is not what I was known to be. An alternative school, as LaShonda, I hear you, Mama, said, you know, an alternative school. Alternative to what? Do they have alternative instructors?
Yeah, what is that alternative school? That makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. Charter schools,
that's
I mean, they've been going charter schools here for like a minute already. And now, I mean, some of these charter schools are not as bad as I thought they would be.
but it's not as, you know, it's not as good as it was before. Elementary schools, I mean, was way better. I mean, when I was in elementary school, it was way better that time. But we went to high school, the only thing that we relied on is passing our grades, taking the PSATs, SATs, and that's it. Or not even, the ACT, and there was another exam that we had to take at the end of the year, you know? Not Regents. The Regents or the RCT exams. That's the only thing we relied on. If you fail, oh, well, you fail. But if you pass your class, hey, you're still going to the next grade or you're graduating. You know?
Cassandra, you said that they have alternative schools. Did they ever explain what alternative schools mean?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. You said that they have alternative schools now in Flint, Michigan. Did they ever tell you what alternative meant?
No. We had, Northwestern, Southwestern, three high schools. They closed down four. That'd make Flint Northern. They closed down Flint Northern for an alternative school. But I want to say they said eighth grade or whatever, or behavior kids, or I mean, I really don't know. But it's only three high schools now, which is Northwestern, Southwestern, and you know what? I'm lying. It's only two.
Wow.
Flint Northwestern and Flint Southwestern Academy.
Wow.
Them the only two high schools that's open now. Because they closed down Flint Northern to an alternative school, and they've been closed Flint Central down. So we just have the two high schools. But my thing is, I don't want my kids to, you know what I'm saying, how kids might have a problem in a certain subject or whatever.
Right.
And it's like 75, 60 kids in the classroom, and you can't give her that one-on-one to find out what her problem is. You know what I'm saying? That's really what's bothering me. And then, like I told my daughter, she'll be in 11th grade this year. She'll be 16 in October. I'm telling her, as far as the pickings with boys, I might jump on another subject or whatever, but as far as the pickings with boys, it's slim. Me and her daddy tell her this because we burying kids here in Flint, Michigan at between the age of 9 to 29. Every day we doing this.
Wow.
So, you know what I'm saying? It's hard. And you know how you don't be like, well, damn, maybe she'd be fucking gay, freaking gay. You know what I'm saying? Because the boys is gone, basically. I don't want to think that way, but it's so terrible here, y'all. Y'all just don't even know.
Yeah, you know.
Don't even know how bad it. And they done closed like all the middle schools, all the high schools, all the elementaries. I got a baby that's in fourth grade, and she in grand. This is not even. It's a what they call the schools, not alternative, but where you got to go out and go to school. That's where my baby girl at. She's
right.
9
Johnny,
years old.
Johnny, Charter I got school. A question for you. How many schools have they closed down in the suburbs there in Flint?
All our schools is gone. All our schools.
Oh, my God.
We have...
Mom is gone.
Far as the elementary school, if I had to just think about what schools is really open...
Uh-huh.
It's Freeman. Gundry closed down, so no, that ain't the elementary. All our elementaries is gone. We might have two, maybe three elementaries. We might have one middle school, and then we got two high schools. But we, at the end of the year, we got 60, 65 murders.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we at.
Huh.
So I take my 9-year-old, she goes to a charter school, which I hope, because the charter school is kindergarten through eighth grade. So okay. She only in fourth grade now. She just passed the fourth grade. So if she can stay at that charter school to eighth grade, then hopefully she can get into Grand Blanc High School, which is out of our district. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If she can get into that, then that's fine, and I'm good with that. But like my big girl, she got to go to Southwestern Academy, which where they done closed down so many high schools. Everybody is going to be at this school. She's not going to get that one-on-one or, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's, I'm telling you, it's terrible. And if I could just pick up, take everything I love and go, I will be on the next flight out of here.
Yeah, because, see, that's the point I was trying to make. It seems like this type of effect with the schools closing up, it hits the inner cities harder than any other place.
Right.
You know, and you don't hear of, that's why I had asked about how many suburbs in the area and how many area schools in their areas were shut down. It's always focused on the inner city schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally unfair. You
right.
know, it needs to be more people like ourselves that are on this panel now having these discussions to get more people like us together and start making some noise about it, because it seems like there's not going to be anything done about it unless we start making some noise about it, because people are looking at it like, well, they're okay with it, and so we might as well not even make an attempt to make things better.
And you know what?
But you know, the devil is a lie. As long as we can make some noise, you know, it's just like this, with this opportunity to voice our opinions on this broadcast is a step in the right direction.
It's
sad. You know, getting our voices out there. Yeah, it's very sad.
And when I went to my daughter's high school because they was bullying her, she couldn't even, they bullied my daughter so bad, she could not even go in the classroom. She had to go to the library to do her work, to do this, and she fell behind because she wasn't, you know, in the classroom.
And what was the school doing about it?
Nothing. When I say I had to go Thank to God. Them, when I had to go to, I went to the principal.
Uh-huh.
I talked to the principal and told him, this is not fair, because she being booked. She got into a fight in the classroom. I'll just bring it down to you real quick. She got into a fight in the classroom. Okay. And the girl tripped her and was trying to step on her face. And, you know how ugly kids do?
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
girls. They going to make you ugly, too. Okay. So that's really what happened. So my daughter, instead of going to the classroom, she went to the library. And before class, she would go to the teacher, get her work or whatever. And then sometime maybe the teacher didn't feel like giving her the work, or I'm teaching right now type of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to deal with all of that too. So when I went to the principal, I said, well, I don't think it's fair she has to be in the library to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
As far as class or whatever. She needs to be in class or whatever. He was like, well, yeah, I feel she needs to be in the class or whatever. And then they was having substitute teachers in that same class eating chicken wings and drinking Sprite while they throwing paper and doing all kind of other mess in the classroom.
My goodness.
I mean, just ridiculous. So, and you know what he told me? The principal told me, you know what? Well, next year it's going to be even worse. Because
yeah.
they closing down such and such, and all the kids coming over here, you know, with behaviors and this. And I said, you know what? That's sad.
Yes,
I
yes,
can't
it is.
Wait till my baby get out of 12th grade, get the heck up out of Flint School, and be done with it. But like I said, my fourth grader, she'll have an opportunity to go to the same high school which Mark Ingram went to, which is a NFL Heisman Trophy person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She had the same, you know what I'm saying, to go there. But I'm telling y'all, when I say schools is they just cutting down, It's ridiculous. It's terrible.
Now,
when we went to school, we didn't have no bullies or whatever. We fought, got it over with, was friends maybe, a few hours later?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they fight now, cut you up like you ain't nothing but a piece of head cheese, and you would never be friends.
And if
again,
they do walk away,
and it's
away,
it's terrible.
If they do walk away, it's not over. You can see it a year later.
No, it's never over.
Three points I wanted to make between what the two of you both said. One, that is where Deacon Williams, that part of it is where the parents come in. That's the part that's on the parents. How dare you bring, like you said a little earlier, Lady Diamond, how dare you close down the schools that we have, then turn around and make it a specialized high school that only outsiders qualify for. So that's one. That's something that we set right back, and just like all of those performers that have been calling, you know, black people niggas in front of a bunch of black people and got nothing done to them. Okay? That's what it is. It's like we seem to be passive with that. Parents, you can't be passive. You heard the young man talking earlier that he busts his butt all year and still may not graduate if he doesn't get a test for proper. So that's one. Number two, they are mandating, the United States mandates that your children need to be in school. But on the other hand, there are a lot of parents that, because of this very problem, choose to homeschool their children, and while it is a federally approved test, they refuse to allow these parents the right support. And on this end, I believe that parents could possibly be better teachers in certain things. But, you know, for those parents that don't feel comfortable doing that, the school should be open and that be the option that it is. But don't sit there and tell me that my child is mandated to go to some of your damn school, and you don't even mandate yourself to make sure they're getting the best they can get.
It's terrible.
And now they're
it's
closing
terrible.
The place to go where the kid's going to go. What do you think?
I
and
wish.
Now I just read an article about what happens to teachers when school closed. Teachers continue to get their full salaries, but they have no place to go for months on end.
But, Katie, when a teacher or substitute sit, eat chicken wings, and drink Sprite while kids is throwing paper and taking advantage of another kid, and you just eating chicken wings and drinking Sprite, I don't know where
gone.
We at, man. I don't. These is these other days that, you know what I'm saying?
She needs to get the one-two punch. She needs to get the 1-2 punch. She needs
and
the
then, you know, and you know what I did? I told my daughter, I said, take your phone, and I know how it, you know, far as she telling me what's going on, take your phone and record it. All you got to do is just hit record, and you know what I'm saying? But guess what? My daughter ain't up to game like we would be. She got caught with her phone, so they called me to tell me I'm going to kick her out for 30 days because she wouldn't give me the phone.
I'm going to kick you out for eating Sprite and
I'm
chicken
like,
wings
oh,
in front of
Lord,
my kids.
And, you know, I hate we even told her to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you can't
what?
Even win for losing. Here it's
no,
like, oh,
no,
man,
no.
They got you.
Absolutely not, Yonder. That's where the parents come in and have to fight down the right. I don't care what the rule is. All right? My child is not allowed to bring a cell phone to his school. He's got one of the worst damn high schools in Brooklyn, New York. He just got a particular situation happen to him coming right out of school. Don't tell me my kids can't have a way to have an emergency. And if they wanted to tell you that she needed to get suspended or whatever, I would have told them, really? You do that, I'll take you right up to your boss to find out why the hell were you sitting there eating lunch while they were sleeping another day.
And see, and that's the time, you know, that I went, like, kind of to the principal and was like, okay, well, this is what's happening, blase or whatever. But at the same time, I believe he the one that caught her with her phone out or no, I take that back. That was the second time. The first time she got caught was she was in the hallway. He caught her, had the phone out. But the second time, we had told her, like, okay, well, just kind of, if you can push record or whatever, keep it in your back pocket or,
right.
You know what I'm saying? When she was doing all of this before, I don't know, I can't say because I wasn't there, if she did it before the bill started or after, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But she did it and got caught. She hit the record and was putting it away and got caught. So they wanted to, take the phone and call us, let us know, like, she going to be kicked out because she had a electronic whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, wow, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. All right. They don't want the students to be able to get any type of evidence against them. That's what that is. But you look at it, this it's a double standard. But the teachers and the people that are running the schools are allowed to use their cell phones. They sit right in the classroom and will talk on their cell phone. But then you're going to tell a child that they can't use their phone, especially if they feel like they're being treated wrong. Okay, I want my child to be able to contact me and let me know, and I'll be up there, Johnny, on the spot to the school. Okay, let's get this straight right now.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
That's what they call themselves, covering up stuff. And that's why we have to be more on top of things now.
I had a friend to tell me, because not only the incident in school when my daughter used to ride the bus home, they had through, you know how the razors, you shave your legs or under your arms or whatever?
Right.
They had broke that in half and was throwing it at my daughter, and it got caught in her hoodie. So when she got home, and you know how you take your clothes off or whatever, it was there in her hoodie. I'm like, what is, you know, what? So somebody had threw it at her on the bus. So I had a friend. He said, what you do is you go and meet the school. When they get to the school, you be right there when they get off the bus. And you clown on them. That's what you do. You show out on the whole bus, the bus driver, and you show out on everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. Because they don't understand. You know what I'm saying? These kids these days is different from how I grew up, how you grew up. I mean, they on a whole nother level.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, you know what? That sound like maybe something me and Mo, y'all call him Mo, we should do. You know what I'm saying? We should meet them at 6 o'clock, 6:45, whatever it is, in the morning at the bus stop, and the principal got to come out, let the police come out, whoever got to come out, we going to come out. Because this is ridiculous. Why are you throwing half of a razor blade at my daughter?
Well, understand, I go back into the schools as well, but I do have to kind of switch it back to the topic, and the whole thing is that the first half of this particular problem, the failing rate, the lack of urgency in these leaders' voices and their attitude is ridiculous. And this is on them. This is their structure. This is the effect and the aftermath or the fallout of the stupid choices that they're making. All right? Damn budget cuts out of the poor people and take from the rich people on their golf course. That is the problem. You know, we're taking away all the options that these kids have to keep a balance up there. You're telling them what they might as well not show up to school all year and just learn whatever's on the test, cram for it, and get there. Okay, that's what they should be doing. They should be saying, you know what? Why go to school? Because if none of my work all year is going to count anyway. But to have this man sifting it and say that, oh well, be warned, you know, by the next report that comes out, they might be, you know, they might be 30% less effective than before, without a problem. Okay, I need to find out where that's coming from. But honestly, that's the problem. because these children are not supposed to be just a debt to determine whether they move forward or not. These children are supposed to be able to show on a test that what they learn is only that they understand.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of noise. No.
That is what's supposed to be happening. So that's the problem that we're having. These people are not trying to do their jobs or some kind of those. Hold on, I need to figure that out. So then we can hear. Come on.
I really did.
So this is a problem. This is a problem that we're having with the leaders. Now, what Deacon Williams says is absolutely true. Okay?
Yes.
The parents do need to step up once they see these school closings are happening. Once they see that that the children are not performing well after all these extra so-called things are being put in place. Why are they closing down schools? Your job is to make sure that the people you bring in, the material you're introducing, are able to be taught in a way that children can learn. And if they can't, you need to find out why. That's your job. After we've done our ABCs, our 1-2-3s, our Barneys, our Kelly Cubbies, our Muppets, all the things that we've done at home, all the cute little, you know, VTech toys that we bought, all the little flashcards that we did, when we send them off to you, you already got a head start. Okay, I need to take a break to figure out where the technical stuff is coming from. I will be back. Dean, this is for you. Because in the midst of all that you're going through, you still got to remember that you got to open your mouth to the right people, but not in a way where it messes you. So don't disrespect as you make your don't disrespect as you make your make your voice. Anyway, it's Paramore, Ain't It Fun. That's for you, my team.
Thank you.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Bonnet and friends. I'm going to be calling in our panelists back in, but I do have another panelist that's in, and I would like to bring them in and let them have something to say in our last 7 minutes. So just hang on. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Are you a student or a parent?
Student.
Okay. Well, what do you think about tonight's topic with regards to the testing? How is that going for you? Like, are you in New York City?
Well, mostly because of the testing, especially in high school. Because I, for one, they break down your grade based on, it'll be like 20% participation in homework and then 70% test. So, you fail a test, you fail the class.
Okay, well, how do you feel about that? Does that put any undue pressure on you, or are you one of those people that don't leave on test?
I feel like, you know, it's not fair to me because if I do good in the class all year and I participate and do my homework, but I'm not a very good person, I'm not good at studying, and I take the test and I get a low grade and it brings down my transcript.
Wow. So, pretty much, we had a previous week on that said that that test determines the credits that you need, and if you don't earn that credit, that test can make or break your chances to graduate. Is that true?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I asked you, I said, there was another student of Brooklyn School that called in and said that the ELA and the Regents test that you guys take at the end of the year. If you don't pass that test, you don't get the credit that you need to graduate. That's right.
That is true. I go to school in Queens, and it's the same citywide. So if basically you have credits based on the class and the region, and by 12th grade you're supposed to have a total of 44 credits. So basically, say you fail a region for 4 years, you have 40 credits that you have to make up either in the summer or senior year. And budget cuts don't even have summer school for some, like, certain students, say, like, ninth graders.
Wow. Well, you keep on doing what you have to do, okay, and try to make sure that you can study and have a good chance at the test, okay? Thank you for calling
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
Hello?
Yes.
I believe that we should be able to bring... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I believe that we should be able to bring cell phones to school in case of emergency.
Okay, explain emergency.
I do too. But you students do understand that the original reason for that not being happening was because a lot of the kids that were using cell phones were using it for coming on activities. Okay? But on the other hand, they can't put that off on the ones that are not because it is a safety device regardless of what teachers want to know. So if you do get to start a little petition and have that happen, you need to be able to perform in such a way with your cell phone that it's worth the trip, understand? Because I personally, as a mother, definitely want to know that at the end of the day, you guys can call or pick up your cell phone if there's a problem. All right. So you should start a petition in your school or start talking at it like a student body or something. Thank you both for calling in, and I'm down to 3 minutes, so I got to hear from the other panelists before we log off, okay?
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Okay. Deacon Williams, I'm going to start with you because I know that you have something you need to take care of. Give me your final thoughts on tonight's topic.
Well, first off, I would like for all the young people that are listening, I want to tell you to stay strong and try and stay focused on. Hello? Okay, I want them to stay focused on what they're there in the school for, and that is to get your education.
Don't be sidetracked or be distracted on what the main goal is there. And if you can, do whatever there is that needs to be done to get information to your parents on some things that are going on at the school. And then for the parents that I said that are possibly sitting around not doing anything, get up and get more involved in your children's education at the school, because as long as you sit back and don't do anything, they're going to keep sitting around and doing nothing, like sitting back eating chicken wings and drinking Sprite when they're supposed to be teaching our students. That is not acceptable and shouldn't be acceptable in today's society, because there's enough pressure on these young people now as it is. As far as peer pressure is stronger now on our children than it's ever been before. And we have to stand up and be stronger parents to help get them through it, because they're struggling in a world that is not fair to our young people.
Indeed. LaShonda, your final thought?
We got to get it together. You know, especially here in Flint, Michigan. Yeah, I only tell y'all what I experienced or whatever. Y'all don't even know the half. This city here is the smallest city among Detroit, Saginaw, and, you know, little other outskirts or whatever. And, you know, we have the most homicide. It's horrible. It's horrible when a guy that you say is your boyfriend, and he come in and kill you and your daughter and leave both y'all in the apartment. I mean, it's crazy here. So basically, we need to get it together, come together, and you know, become one, see something, say something. And we need our school, and we need that more than anything, because we having kids.
Yes.
So you don't think we need schools when kids having kids? That's, you know, that's just my thought.
Thank you very much. Elaine?
I agree with everybody else saying, you know, I mean, the chancellor and the mayor, they have to really focus on what's going on. I mean, right now we can't focus on our current mayor. We have to focus on the new mayor that's coming in right now, what's going to happen with this new mayor that's coming in. And all the other states that's out there, yeah, they have to get together and figure out ways on keeping the schools open. Keeping the schools open, you know, and just, you know, and check out our teachers, check out everybody. If you miss one meeting, no big deal. Just go to the next meeting or find information out and see what's going on that's affecting the school. If any of those meetings could be information for you, for the parents, that could help them, you know, keep these schools open or give them ideas like, okay, we have enough time to help the schools to stay open, you know. And I'm sorry, Katie, I have to disagree on the cell phone thing. Cell phones should not be allowed in schools at all by teachers or students.
I don't think.
Let me give my reasoning. I don't see no reason why anybody should bring a cell phone in. One is a distraction for teachers too, because it's stupid enough for them to bring a cell phone too. I don't see any emergency. If there's an emergency, they could call the school office and do it that way, you know. We've done it before. When we were in school, they could do it too. Secondly, when the World Trade Center went down, was cell phones good? No. When Sandy hit, was cell phones good? No. So I still find it pointless in my point of view.
Yeah, no, I don't mean for them to be able to have it active during class hours. I mean they should be able to bring it, and when class is over, be able to pick
up.
When class
is over, yeah. But
you know,
also, most of these schools,
class,
you can't even use cell phones either because it's out. You know, there's no
teachers either. They shouldn't be texting in class or anything. But I will
right.
say this. I appreciate all of the panelists' opinions tonight. We're actually running a little bit over time, so I have to
yeah.
wind down. I say New York City, Bloomberg, you know, all you United States Department of Education people, before you start mandating that people send their child to these facilities, okay, you better show me a plan. And while you're in office, get it together. I don't want to see you with some lackadaisical-looking expression on your face telling me that my child is going to not perform or the scores are going to be less than whatever. When you handed them this stuff, you didn't give them the true supplies to be able to set them up for success. You set them up to fail, and now you want to just wash your hands. No way. Parents, get off your butts and get to a PTA meeting.
That's right.
And put the screw cap on your kids during their homework assignments and doing whatever. Take away them MP3 players, them iPhones, whatever it is, if you don't see them doing their part to their own success. Okay, we do have to wrap it up for tonight. I want to thank all of you 8,997 people that's out there listening, and the numbers are slowly climbing right now. I want to thank LaShonda. I want to thank Stephen Williams, you, Elaine. I want to thank Kristen for calling in, my two teenagers that called in. I want you to hear what the young people are saying about this, too, because your job as a parent is to hear them, to make sure that they have no excuses to fail in school. So until tomorrow night, everyone, which we will be having another spin-off conversation, not about tonight particularly, but we're going to be spreading off some more on the youth subjects right now, community-wise. So, see you tomorrow night at our regular time, 8 o'clock. Until then, be blessed, be a blessing. Go out and make a difference. Mayor Bloomberg, lay off.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night. Amen. Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.